Rangers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. Welcome back, Jamie. Been missing Jamie for a few days, but that's all right. She's been hard at work. It is tailgate tour time in the state of Wisconsin. The Packers are embarking on their annual Goodwill tour around Wisconsin and environs, actually making a stop in Dubuque, Iowa this year, which is really cool. And in honor of the tailgate tour, I thought we'd spend most of today's episode kind of breaking down the roles of the players who are taking part in the tour this year. There's three current players on the team who are going on this five-stop tour. Actually, many more than five stops, but those are how the evenings conclude, with stops last night getting kicked off in Oshkosh, tonight Beloit, Wisconsin. Let's see. Thursday night is Dubuque, Iowa. Friday night it is Tomo, Wisconsin. And then on Saturday, I forget. Wait, Wisconsin Rapids, I think. Yeah, that's how it is, where it is. So we're going to talk about the three players on the tailgate tour. But I just wanted to start off today's show. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the charity fundraiser taking place last night in Milwaukee. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers took part in his annual Mac Fund fundraiser. Every year he does an evening with Aaron Rodgers, as I think they call it, and they literally raise hundreds of thousands of dollars every year for this event to fight childhood cancer. This year, Aaron Rodgers had asked to join him former Packers legendary quarterback Bart Starr, join him on stage. He also had golfer Andy North, the Wisconsin native and two-time U.S. Open champion. He had former Bucks player John McLaughlin join him on stage for a speaking engagement. And, you know, kudos to the job they all did in raising, literally, again, hundreds of thousands of dollars that they raised to fight childhood cancer. I read an article, it's in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel a few days ago, written by Gary D'Amato, the part-time or fill-in Packers beat writer. He's actually their golf beat writer at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, but he's filled in on the Packers beat before. But he had written a nice article kind of outlining the event and Aaron Rodgers' role in it. And they had said, I think he wrote something like, they, in the three previous years, they had raised over $725,000 from this Aaron Rodgers speaking engagement. And then this year they were hoping to crack the $1 million mark. So I do think that is really cool. I see Jamie says on the live blog, fundraisers, a lot more goes into them than meets the eye. No doubt about it. So again, just kudos to Aaron Rodgers. I was not there. I've just seen media coverage of the event, but I do think that was really, really cool in what they're doing to raise money for this worthwhile charity, in my opinion. Getting on to the Packers tailgate tour here, also a very cool event in which the purpose, part of the purpose of the tailgate tour, is to raise money for local charities at every stop along the way. And so last night in Oshkosh, they raised money for a local charity. Tonight in Beloit, they'll be raising money for a local charity. So it really is kind of cool what the Packers do for the community with this. And also is kind of a way to thank fans along the way for their, support of the Packers organization. as it is such a cool and unique organization, as people listening to this show know, as the only publicly owned NFL team and one of the few publicly owned professional sports teams worldwide, for that matter. So a lot of local support, not just in Green Bay, but statewide, nationwide, and worldwide, goes into the Green Bay Packers, and Packers trying to reach out to them some on the tour this week. And you know, it's not just the players we're going to start to break down here joined the tour, that the Packers joint, you know, kind of the MC, the master of ceremonies every year is Packers president Mark Murphy. He always goes along. He's kind of the, you know, kind of acts as the face of the franchise to an extent, for this event or these events. And then the Packers get a couple alumni players to go along every year. I think this year they have former center Frank Winters, Packers Hall of Famer, recently inducted just a few years ago. Former offensive lineman Aaron Taylor, part of the 1996 Super Bowl winning team. Current broadcaster at the CBS Sports Network as well. And then who else did they get to go along this year? Is it Marco Rivera, or did he join last year? I forget who the other player is. But really cool event. And you know, there's kind of a lot of media attention on the tailgate tour as it took off from Green Bay yesterday, and the players meet the media along stops all along the way. So you're gonna, you know, over the course of the next week, and really which began yesterday, you're gonna see a lot of articles on Randall Cobb, Alex Green, Jarrett Bush, these players taking part in this. And we'll start with kind of who I think is the, you know, the highest profile player, and that would be wide receiver Randall Cobb, and kind of break down his role on the team, where he's at. And you know, just there was several articles published on Randall Cobb yesterday. You can go anywhere. Go to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Green Bay Press Gazette, ESPNMilwaukee.com. They all had items published on Randall Cobb, and one of the unique items that he was quoted as saying is, I'm reading here from JSOnline.com, quote, "I really don't think I've peaked yet. I'm 22 years old. I've got a lot of learning still to do. I have a long way to go, and I just hope I continue to get better over the next years." End quote. That was Randall Cobb speaking yesterday as the Packers tailgate tour pushed off from Green Bay. And you know, I think you can look here and say, wow, at Randall Cobb being 22 years old. The Packers just drafted players older than Randall Cobb. Randall Cobb is now entering his third year in the NFL. And he is younger than some rookies in the NFL. It's amazing to think what he can accomplish. And you know, the burden is going to be a little bit bigger on his shoulders this year, now that Greg Jennings has moved on in free agency. Donald Driver has retired. So, you know, Randall Cobb, you know, that it's going to be a three-headed monster, basically, at the wide receiver position for the Packers this year. No doubt is Randall Cobb shouldering the burden alone. He'll be joined by Jordy Nelson and James Jones, and they're each going to get their fair share of touches, assuming they're all healthy this season. But yeah, I mean, those three guys will be, you know, carrying the load at wide receiver. And I think that all three of them are very capable players and very good players. But yeah, I mean, Randall Cobb, certainly an emerging young guy. He made headlines his rookie year in the NFL with kind of, I think, mostly his return abilities. He had the, you know, amazing kickoff return for a touchdown in week one against the New Orleans Saints his rookie year, the year after the Super Bowl. It was the NFL's play of the year and ended up having a punt return for a touchdown later in the year. And I think he was the Pro Bowl alternate as a return specialist. So, you know, kind of made his mark on returns his rookie year. And then last year really emerged, not to say that he didn't play a role as a wide receiver his rookie year, but then really emerged a lot as a sophomore, a professional sophomore, if you will. I mean, he became a go-to target of Aaron Rodgers last year, played that slot position, like the way you want to see it be played. Just he was a security blanket for Aaron Rodgers. He's got the quickness to make people miss, and that'll be his role going forward. You know, he's short, he's quick. That's where he fits. Pretty much, you know, Randall Cobb, not to say that he couldn't play on the perimeter as a wide receiver, but, you know, slot is where he fits. And I think he really is going to just continue to be a go-to target, a guy who can catch nearly 100 passes a year. I mean, I don't know if he'll reach that because there's so many other good guys in Green Bay, but at least here in 2013. But, I think he's that good, though. Also contributing to the team on offense, kind of in that running back role from time to time last year. It's not like Randall Cobb played in the backfield a lot in what they call their Cobra formation. But, you know, what was really interesting was every time Randall Cobb carried the football as a running back last year, it was like magic. It would be like he'd gain 8 yards every time he ran the ball almost. It really was kind of unique and to see how effective the Packers were out of that formation. And not just that, but, you know, being used as a receiver out of the backfield too. Kind of interesting. I'm not sure how much the Packers will be using that Cobra formation anymore. Not to say they're going to scrap it entirely, but now that the Packers spent all this effort into drafting Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin in the NFL draft, you know, are they going to use Randall Cobb that much in the backfield anymore? I would say the snaps Randall Cobb is spending in the backfield are going to go down this year because the Packers have other options they can use and what would seem to be good options. You know, I'm basing that upon how Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin did in college, and there's a world of difference between what they did in college and what they can do in the pros. But I mean, those guys seem to have a bright future. So that's kind of one change I think maybe in store here for Randall Cobb this upcoming season. But no doubt about it, an emerging young player, a guy who's on the rise, a guy who, like we said, is really young. He's 22 years old. I mean, the things he could accomplish by the end of his career could just be amazing if he stays healthy, and he's shown to be a guy that's stayed healthy so far in his career. Another thing with Randall Cobb is how they appear to be kind of trying to get away from him on the return game because he's such an integral part of the Packers offense. And you know, that is kind of a scary situation because Randall Cobb has done so well at it his first 2 years in the NFL. Mike McCarthy has made the comment that he would like to see Randall Cobb, you know, not be on kick and punt returns anymore. But, you know, the fact is he's been generally reliable. Not to say that, you know, Randall Cobb has muffed a few and fumbled a few as well there. But on the whole, I think what he brings outweighs any few errors he's made. And, it's the Packers, if they're going to go away from Randall Cobb, they have to find a legitimate returner. And I'm not sure they found that person. They tried Jeremy Ross last year, late in the year, and he'll get a shot again, but he didn't, you know, proved to be sure-handed last year. I thought some comments from Mike McCarthy during rookie orientation camp were kind of telling. He had twice in his press conferences mentioned new running back Jonathan Franklin and being a potential return specialist. Mike McCarthy had mentioned that without even being asked about Jonathan Franklin. At least as a returner, he mentioned him being a potential return specialist. And what's interesting is Franklin didn't even really fill that role all that much at UCLA. And not to say he didn't ever, but he just wasn't, you know, like this elite return specialist in college. So I kind of scratched my head a little bit when Mark McCarthy mentioned it twice. Had he mentioned it once, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, he's just trying to check things out. But he came back to it on like two separate occasions talking about Jonathan Franklin and doing returns. So they seem to be really dead set on at least trying to find out if Jonathan Franklin can be that guy. So something to keep an eye on. With that as time goes on here. So I think we kind of spend a lot of time breaking down the role of Randall Cobb here so far. So let's start to touch on the other two guys on the tailgate tour this year, Alex Green and Jarrett Bush. And we'll start continue on here with Alex Green before Jarrett Bush. Running back Alex Green. He kind of summarizing his career with the Packers so far, came to the Packers as a third round draft choice in what would it be, 2011, right? He's now entering his third year. His rookie year in the NFL, he didn't see a whole lot of playing time, played some special teams, got a few carries and receptions here and there. But it kind of looked like he was a promising type of player, a guy who could be the future of the running back position in Green Bay in due time. He actually, mid-season or so, his rookie year in 2011, Alex Green goes and tears his ACL on special teams. I think on kick return, he was actually acting as a blocker, but ends up tearing his ACL. Saying that obviously sent him back, spent the rest of his rookie year on injured reserve. And then last year, he never was quite the same player. You could just tell that he wasn't 100% recovered from that injury, even though he played all year. You saw him not being that effective last year. Never really was. Ended up for a while, he had a stretch of games or two that, a few games in which he was moderately effective, but you saw towards the end of the year he was actually didn't play or wasn't active for the last few games of the season, including the playoffs there. His role was really reduced, and part of that had to do with the emergence of DeJuan Harris. But going forward here, what is Alex Green's future with the Packers now that they've added, as we've alluded to, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin? I'm not sure. I've said this before. I think it's a situation where the Packers potentially, possibly keep four running backs this year. I think a lot, most teams probably on average maybe keep three halfbacks. Some probably keep four, but anyway, I just the past few years, I think the Packers have kept three, at least out of training camp. Maybe they've kept four from time to time. But anyway, Eddie Lacy and Jonathan Franklin are assured of roster spots this year, assuming they're healthy. DeJuan Harris, you have to think, you know, the way he played last year, he's assured of a roster spot. So if the Packers go ahead and keep four, I mean, first of all, you got to think that it's a fight between Alex Green here and James Starks, two guys who have had trouble staying healthy pretty much ever since they've came to Green Bay. These guys could be fighting for one job between them, and even that isn't assured. Even that isn't guaranteed. We kind of saw, as again, Mike McCarthy mentioned over rookie orientation camp last weekend, another rookie, an undrafted one, Angelo Pease of Kansas State, and kind of how he flashed during rookie orientation camp. And that was kind of a good sign to see, or at least hear from the mouth of the head coach. And again, we got to pump the brakes a little bit on Angelo Pease in that we're seeing him in just shorts and not pads. But, you know, it certainly wasn't a bad thing that he caught the eye of the head coach of the Packers and would appear to be, you know, will at least be given a fair shake to win a roster spot with the Packers. But wouldn't it be interesting for the Packers to keep three rookie running backs on the roster this year? Would that be interesting to see him keep, Lacey, Franklin, and Pease? I don't know if they will. Maybe they end up putting, Pease on the practice squad, possibly. Again, a lot has to play out here this year before we can kind of make those decisions yet. And injuries, again, you know, tend to play a part. Knock on wood, we don't hope for injuries, but, you know, sometimes roster decisions are made for you when injuries occur. As you see, if, you know, as history shows in football. But, you know, Alex Green, you know, he's not guaranteed of a roster spot this year. He's going to have to fight for one. Kevin Lamb on the live blog says running back competition should be fun in preseason games. Yeah, no doubt about it, right? Can't you just wait to see how they divvy up carries and how these guys perform in the preseason? These guys are, I'm just looking from a number standpoint. We got Eddie Lacy 1, Jonathan Franklin 2, DeJuan Harris 3, Alex Green 4, James Starks 5, Angelo Pease 6. So that's, what, 6 halfbacks in Green Bay? They've talked about bringing back Cedric Benson, but I'm not sure they do anymore. So, I mean, those are just the halfbacks. We haven't even talked about the fullbacks. They're, you know, kind of John Kuhn himself has played kind of in a one-back sets as a halfback before, things like that. So, it'd be really cool to watch them duke it out and see them fight for a roster spot this year. Alex Green's got his work cut out for him. Yeah, he is not guaranteed of a roster spot. And in fact, not that this has any bearing on anything, but during last year's tailgate tour, they asked Charlie Peppra to be part of the tailgate tour last year. Charlie Peppra didn't even make the roster last year. So it isn't unprecedented for a player in the tailgate tour to end up being cut during training camp. But, that kind of leaves us here with Jarrett Bush, the last current player on this year's tailgate tour. Jarrett Bush, the player fans used to love to hate, and I think that's waned somewhat ever since the Super Bowl season of 2007, when he really kind of emerged as a likable person, especially because he really became the Packers' special teams demon, kind of their kamikaze go-to type of player, the one guy who made his living pretty much on every special teams unit, and is a guy who will throw his body around and always gives 100% effort all the time. Jarrett Bush kind of put the past behind him a little bit. It was always a little bit of a You know, Jared Bush, no doubt about it, he has not been effective as a defensive back for the Packers, especially prior to 2010. You can remember those first few seasons he spent in Green Bay, 2007, 2008, 2009. He would get burned on several occasions as a defensive back, as a cornerback. And, it is a little bit scary how often that to see him actually last in Green Bay as long as he has been kind of amazing, considering how poorly he played at times, at least in his coverage responsibilities. You know, Jarrett Bush's calling card has always been his physicality and his tackling. No doubt about it. I mean, he's probably the best cornerback on the team in terms of tackling and toughness. That might not even be a question. The problem is, though, that kind of comes down the list of priorities for cornerbacks. Coverage better be your forte as a cornerback and not your tackling. Not to say it isn't nice that he's a good tackler, but coverage is more important by far in terms of the list of positive qualities. But no, yeah, I mean, Jared Bush, he's been a playoff captain for each of the past three seasons. He is respected by his peers. This is something voted upon by the players themselves as a postseason captain each of the past three seasons, including the Super Bowl season. And he's always been a special teams expert. He's the guy. I especially love the work he does on covering punts as a gunner. The Packers do such a good job with Tim Mastay and their directional punting. He will put that thing right down the left sideline because he knows Jared Bush is going to sell himself out to get down there and either make the tackle or down the thing. How many times in the past few seasons have you seen Jared Bush down the ball inside the 5-yard line as a gunner on the punt team? Does a great job there. But now, in terms of the 2013 season, he's got a contract, I think, in excess of $2 million. And Jared Bush is really going to be pushed for a roster spot this year, I think, by incoming cornerback Micah Hyde. Could end up being a younger and cheaper version of Jared Bush. Now, again, I'm not ready to say that he is. Micah Hyde has to prove himself, but this is a guy who the Packers are going to be looking to play a reserve cornerback role and play on special teams until he finds a larger role on defense. Well, one thing that I think, and John here on the live blog says, I still think Bush would have made a pretty good safety. And you know, the one thing Jared Bush could have going for him, safety is the thinnest position currently on the Packers roster. They only have 5 true safeties on the roster right now, which is not many considering the offseason roster is at 90. If Jared Bush has been an emergency safety for the Packers in the past, he's practiced at the position. I'm not sure how much he's played it in games. Maybe he has from time to time. But, if he could be a fourth string, fifth string safety, that would really improve his chances, I think, of sticking with the team. And maybe that they make that move with Jared Bush this year and make it his full-time position. I'm not sure. In fact, I think somebody had asked him about that yesterday on the tailgate tour, and he said he hasn't been talked to about it yet. But I'm sure he would be willing to. Kind of a Charles Woodson type of thing, right, where he moved from cornerback to safety. Maybe it's Jared Bush's time to do that. And nobody's looking for him to be a starting safety, but maybe just kind of your, fourth string, fifth string guy that can, provide a little depth at that position. So that there you go. And I'd be remiss, of course, if I didn't mention Jared Bush's interception in the Super Bowl of Ben Roethlisberger. His high watermark as a member of the Green Bay Packers, in addition to the role he did on special teams that Super Bowl season, that was kind of the icing on the cake, wasn't it? Thanks, Jared Bush, for that. We'll never forget you for that. So that's kind of the three players analyzing their roles in depth here, the three players on the tailgate tour this year. And it's 9 o'clock, folks. I got to take off here on a Wednesday morning here at Railbird Central. But we'll be back once again on Friday here at Railbird Central. So make sure to join us then, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, everyone. I leave you today with a song called Rocker by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack. Go.
I'm still not able to understand. I'm struggling here to deny it. For if I knew this was all we wouldn't have said goodbye then. It's only water, no spirit.